Gawain.
Yes, sire.
Talk to the unattached guards and men-at-arms. Sound out how many might be willing to fight for us, and how many more might be swayed by promises of loot or patronage. When you've done that, start thinking of ways to get at my dear brothers. I've no doubt their protection is as good as mine, if not better. But there's always the chance they've left some small opening we can take advantage of. I won't feel secure until Lewis and Dominic are dead and safely buried in their graves.
You'd kill your own brothers?
My God, you're actually shocked. Listen, fool, either Lewis or Dominic is almost certainly responsible for the death of our father. He and I may have had our disagreements, but I was still fond of the old man, and I will avenge his murder. No matter what the cost. Besides, Dominic is barking mad and always has been, and Lewis, I think I'd prefer it if he was mad. It might make some of his excesses easier to stomach. I've no love for my brothers, Actor. I knew them too well. The world will be a better place for their passing. And anyway, they stand between me and the throne. I've waited a long time for this chance, and I won't be stopped now. Not by anyone or anything. I will sit upon the throne of Redheart if I have to see all the corridors of this castle soaked in blood to do it.
Oh, shh, there, there. The surgeons told you not to exert yourself too much.
Victor finally got himself under control again and sank back in his chair, his eyes closed.
Roderick, Gawain, get me the crown and the seal. I've had enough excuses. I want results. Get them. I don't care how. Spend as much as you need to. Kill as many as you have to. Heather, I'm tired. Get me out of here. I'm tired.
Of course, darling. You can lean on Gawain and me, and we'll get you back to your new quarters.
Between them, she and Gawain got Victor to his feet again, and Heather pulled the cowl forward so that it hid his features. They left the room in silence.
So that's Prince Victor.
Yes. What did you think of him?
He's certainly determined. Is he really being poisoned?
No. The food comes from Argent's personal supplies. He's even tasted it himself, in Victor's presence. The prince is flinching at shadows.
And now, if you'll excuse us for a moment, Brian and I need to discuss Victor's instructions, so we'll leave you to settle into your new quarters. We won't be gone long, and the guards will stay outside your door to see that you're not disturbed. If you need anything, there's a bell pull by the fireplace. Someone will come when you call.
Fine by me. I think I'll do a little exploring. I've never seen a room with so many doors. If I'm not back in an hour, send a pack of hounds in to look for me.
Roderick smiled politely. De Grange just looked at Jordan. After a moment, they bowed formally and left.
What? They locked me in?
It was times like this that made him wish he'd taken up a career in carpentry, as his mother had wanted. Robert Argent sat alone in his study, leafing through the letters and business papers that had accumulated in his absence. He'd been doing it for some time, but he wasn't getting anywhere. He realized he'd just read the same paragraph for the third time, and it still hadn't sunk in. He dropped the letter onto his desk and rubbed tiredly at his eyes. He knew he ought to be concentrating. The letter was important, they all were, but none of it seemed to matter much anymore. The man who sweated his guts out over every deal, who squeezed each bargain till it screamed to get the last drop of credit, that was a different Robert Argent. That man lived only in the past now. Argent missed him. He sat back in his chair and looked around him. It was a medium-sized, simply appointed study. Modest, but comfortable. The carpet had been a gift from his late wife, and the portraits on the walls had been painted by his daughter-in-law. They were quite good, some of them. With the money he was making these days, he could easily afford living quarters that were much more ostentatious. But he'd never seen the point. He was a man of simple tastes, and always had been. It might have been different if he'd married again, but somehow he'd never got around to it. He could have married again, Among the merchant community, political marriages were even more popular than among the aristocracy. But he no longer believed in arranged marriages. He believed in love and romance, though there'd been precious little of either in his life. When he'd been younger, he'd pictured many possible futures for himself, but this hadn't been one of them. Argent smiled slightly, remembering his early days with Rod more than 20 years ago, when his friend had been plain Rod Crichton instead of Count Roderick. They'd had some times together, the two of them. One night in Hub City, they'd been thrown out of 14 inns in less than 3 hours, a record that still stood. Argent sighed and looked listlessly at the wine bottle on his desk, still unopened. He'd always liked his wine, but of late, he'd lost even that. When Rod had first come to him with his lunatic scheme of finding a double for the prince, it had seemed like old times all over again. The two of them together, against an uncaring world. And, of course, a chance to rebuild his fortunes after the failure of their last great scheme. But the deal had gone sour right from the beginning. Not his fault this time, or even Rod's. It had just turned out that the world had grown stronger and nastier than he remembered, while he had grown old and soft. Robert Argent stared unseeingly at the wall before him, a man with too much past and no future at all.